Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Mr. Oster is just across the table here in our studios at KDK. We'll get to him in a moment. It's his show. It is The Organic Gardener, of course, DougOster.com. But if you're the 10th caller right now, 412-922-1020, you're going to win yourself a $25 gift certificate from Sorgel. So Doug would also like to take all of your gardening questions before Miles Stevens drops by with a little edition of Davy Trees Talking Trees in about 30 minutes. So anything on your mind in the way of gardening, now would be a perfect time to call us at 866-391-1020. So a recipe for hope, a recipe, as always, for success.
Yes. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm good.
Last night, Recipe for Hope, which is Bonnie Diver's fundraiser for Hair Peace Charities. And I was teamed up with Rick Seebeck. And Rick brought in a cucumber that he grew. He was so excited to show me that he'd picked a cucumber and he wanted to give it to me. I said, no, you take it. It's from your garden. I've got plenty of cucumbers. The cucumbers are coming in. I hope they're coming in at your place, too. We had a lot of fun last night, and I hope, I'm sure Bonnie raised a lot of money for a great cause, helping women with cancer. Now, you can watch my brand new TV show. We're about halfway through the summer season, actually, on CBS Pittsburgh, streaming every Saturday at 9 a.m. It's called In Doug's Garden, brought to you by the Davy Tree Expert Company. But I just posted today's show online. You can go to DougOster.com to watch it. I've got a whole list of great garden bargains there, and I'm sneaking in some hot peppers into the garden. You could do the same, too. Luke Warner from Davy explains what we can do about the spotted lanternfly and other pests. So that's at DougOster.com. Fertilize, fertilize, fertilize. This is the time to do it. And I'm always talking about my favorite fertilizer, Dramatic. It's Dramatic with two M's. That's Rob. He's Dramatic with two M's. He's so dramatic. Now, the name of the company is Dram, and I've worked with them for a long time. I use this fertilizer. I buy it like you buy it. They don't give it to me. It's not an ad. This is just what I use. And you can get it locally at either Hahn Nursery in the north or Chapin's in the south. And speaking of fertilization, I heard in the ad there for the Pittsburgh Agway stores, they're carrying Ohio Earth Foods fertilizers. That's a granular one that I use also. Now, I know Hahn has it too, but if you're around one of those Pittsburgh Agway stores and couldn't get to a Hahn, that is a great fertilizer. It's inexpensive, it's organic, and it works. My upcoming trip to Portugal in April, there's only about 10 seats left. I can't believe this. This is going crazy. It's a 13-day show and our 13-day trip. We go through the country and then two different trips out to the Azores Islands, which are sort of cross, they say, between Hawaii and Ireland. So kind of a tropical green climate, only with that island breeze coming through. We're going to see the Madeira Flower Festival, Terra Nostra Botanical Garden, the Portuguese Riviera, tea and pineapple plantations, Madeira Botanical Garden. But there's lots of other things besides gardening. I would say this one is probably maybe half-half gardening and then, you know, checking out the little cities and islands and everything. And it is a great price point for a 13-day trip, especially nowadays. I did a webinar that shows every stop that we make, and it's all the details are at DougOster.com. Time to plant bush beans also. You know, I pulled my garlic, and as soon as I harvest garlic, I want something else to go in the ground. And so I planted some bush beans, one called dragon's tongue that I really like, but there's lots of different, you know, any bush bean you put in is a good one, you know. Find some seeds, and if you've got space in your garden, if you were harvesting something, maybe your spring stuff came out, you could put some bush beans in now, and there's plenty of time for them to get in the ground, sprout, and you'll be harvesting in, I don't know, depending on the variety, 40 days, 45 days. And think ahead for your lettuce, too. There is one that I really love for the summer, and it's called Simpson Elite, and it just does better in hot weather. I discovered this one a long time ago, actually when I worked over in Ohio, in Medina, Ohio. This friend of mine was an umpire for like the local, you know, local baseball games. And he was reading my column when I wrote it in Ohio, and he told me all about Simpson Elite. Black-seeded Simpson is a cool weather lettuce that is very, very popular. But Simpson Elite is like a cousin. It's a white seed, and again, it just does better in the heat of the summer. And a lot of times I'll sprinkle lettuce seeds around other things this time of the year just to give them a little bit of shade so that they don't bolt. And that's what happens with the cool weather crops is, you know, when it gets hot, they can't take it and they just go to seed and then you're done. And so I like to keep planting lettuce every few weeks. Just I want to have lettuce when the tomatoes come in. I have picked a couple tomatoes. I picked a couple cherries. How are your tomatoes doing? That's what I want to know, too. Give me a call, 866-391-1020. Are you picking yet? Because I'm already getting the questions. I've got lots of green tomatoes on there, but they haven't ripened yet. It's too early for most people and for most varieties. And then, oh, man, I was in the garden, and I have never seen so many deer. 5 spotted fawns with 2 does, 3 button bucks, and then 3 bigger bucks with velvet. I've never seen so many deer, and they have no fear. They're all camping out in my woods. They're all sleeping in my woods. You know, every time I pull up the driveway, I'm waking them up, and they seem...
Well, you've got that neon sign out in front. It's all-night buffet, you know? I mean, come on.
I mean, I've never had to spray this close to the house. I mean, I'm spraying, you know...
What do they do? Just, like, lay in the grass during the day and eat at night? Or what's the deal
basically,
with
basically, yeah. You know, maybe stroll around a little bit during the day. I have an
Are
old,
there any predators out there for them?
No. I have an old dog.
He's not doing anything.
I came out, and he was drinking out of my fountain, and right in front of him...
A deer.
...was a deer. And I'm waving my hands and stomping my feet and throwing rocks, and the deer is just like, huh? What? What are you doing? I don't... And then once I get close enough, and this is, I mean, within 6 feet, which, you know, when they have babies is a little more worrisome, they'll run... Again, about another 6 feet and just stop and look back and like...
Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Let's go.
What are you going to do?
So here's a couple things that I have in the garden that have not been touched. First are my salvias. I'm growing a bunch of annual salvias, and they're completely unprotected. And all I can say is so far, they have not been touched. But they have never been touched. In all these years, I've been growing salvia out there. I have a hardy banana. You know, you can find those at the nursery. And it's a cool plant. It looks, you know, really tropical. And at the end of the year, I just cover it with straw, thick straw, and it's good to go. It's probably about 6 foot tall now, but eventually we'll probably get to about 15. So that's another thing the deer are not eating. There's a perennial, and it's called Aralia. And the most common variety is called Sun King. Again, you can find this at the nursery. And it's a great shade plant. And, I'm in the shade. It grows about 3 feet by 4 feet. It's pretty big. And it's just chartreuse foliage. There are some flowers, but they're insignificant. Again, something they haven't touched. And then a shade perennial called Ligularia. I grow one called Britt Marie Crawford. and again, has never been touched by the deer. And these are all tough plants. You know, the salvia I'm watering, but these other three plants, the hardy banana, the aralia, and the ligularia, I'm not watering. They're on their own. They're a perennial. So those are four things that I know so far the deer haven't eaten, but they're eating just about everything else, and it's driving me nuts.
All right. The number to get a question in for Doug is 866-391-1020. JamFest presented by UPMC, and UPMC Health Plan is back this year and taking place on August 6th at North Park Basketball Courts, supporting Folds of Honor. This three-on-three basketball tournament is open to all sexes, grades 3 through 12, plus an adult division. Register your team now at kdkradio.com. All right, Miles Stevens, about 20 minutes away. Davey Tree Talking Trees. What are you going to do today?
Talking about why you should hire a certified arborist.
Okay. Right now, you got lots of phone calls. Let's say hi to Barbara. You're on KDK. How are things in Forest Hills? Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good.
My question was about the beauty bush shrub. When is the best time to transplant that, please? I'd like to move it out of its place now and put it into an area with a little more sun.
So is it beauty berry? Is it the one that has a little...
I'm sorry. You're right. You're right. Okay. I should have known. I had it wrong.
No, well, you got close enough. At least I was able to figure it out. That's interesting because that one, we don't want to mess up. What the beauty berry does, it has these amazing purple berries at the end of the season. I was going to say fall, but I guess we don't want to mess with the berries. So... I guess first thing in the spring would be the best time to move it. You could probably get away with it in the fall, you know, like depending on how fast it cools off, but around September, around there. But if it could wait, probably best off in the spring, because I'm afraid that if you move it in the fall, that you might mess up the berries. And that's the reason we grow that plant, is those amazing purple berries. How big is that plant?
It is starting to flower right now.
Oh, awesome. How big is it?
Yeah. It's 3 feet tall.
Can it wait till the spring?
You know, I was wondering about, that's why I called today, because I wanted to make sure. I have a spot for it that I can clear away for the spring, and I prefer waiting until then.
Yeah, April.
Thank you for your advice.
April, thank you very much.
All right, let's go to Ed. You're up next on KDK. Good morning, Ed.
Morning. I have holes in my cucumbers and brown spots, and then... Even on the cucumber, I'm wondering if it's a cucumber beetle or something.
We're talking about the foliage or the fruit?
The foliage and the fruit has a little bit of some brown stuff, too. I picked some cucumbers, and they got, like, some brown, like, something's eating them or something.
Probably cucumber beetles. Have you seen the cucumber beetle in the flower? That's kind of where you can find them.
Oh, I've been looking on the leaves. No wonder I can't find them.
We need to identify it first, be able to tell for sure that it's a cucumber beetle, but that would be my guess, especially if you're seeing like little holes along the edges of the foliage. That's usually cucumber beetle. And so for cucumber beetle, we use something, the organic control is Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew, and any of our sponsors will have that product. It's safe for you. It's safe for the good bugs. And it's also safe for people who live downstream of you.
I tried that for something else, and it didn't work.
Well, here's the trick. They have to eat it. So you have to put it on something that they're chewing on. They have to ingest it. And so as long as you get it where they're eating, then you'll be in good shape.
Would it be better to put it on the flowers and the leaves then?
No, you'd be better off, even though they – you see them in the flowers, it's better off to put it on the foliage because that's what they're chewing at.
All right, George, you're next up for Doug Oster, the organic gardener, KDKA. Good morning, George.
Yes, I'm growing lemon balm, and I noticed that throughout the clumps, there's a black spot on some of the leaves. It's almost like somebody splashed paint on it, black paint, and it goes clear through the leaf. And I was wondering if that's safe to use that in tea with that on there.
It's probably four-line plant bug. As long as you don't see anything on there as far as the actual pest, you'll be fine. Because lemon balm is indestructible, and it's from the mint family. Most people are trying to get rid of their lemon balm. But tell me about how you use it, because I actually have I had a question for you, because once you have lemon balm, you always have lemon balm. How do you make the tea out of it?
I dry it, grind it up, and I have a little, I'm not sure what it's called. It's a stainless steel little ball that's perforated.
Yeah, sure.
You put it in there, just boil the water and seep it in there and drink it.
Oh, that's great. And you love that tea?
I like it. It's not the greatest, but it's supposed to have a lot of health benefits. So I'm kind of doing it on purpose, so to speak.
Oh, I'm going to have to give that a try. What's so funny?
You amaze me. I love you. All right. Here you go. You can even make tea interesting. Here's Joe on KDK.
I don't know how interesting it was, but
I thought it was pretty good.
All right.
I was paying attention, and that's rare for this show.
That's true. You're usually looking at the computer.
That's right. I'm busy, focused. You're
watching the news.
Absolutely.
Or Twilight Zone.
Absolutely. By the way, I'm following his daughter on Facebook now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. He was brilliant, that guy.
Rod Serling, you think he was brilliant?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Here's Joe. That's his time topic for another show.
Hey, Joe, what's up?
Hi, Joe.
I grow the horseradish in my garden, and something eat the roots, no matter how many, but it just, I can't help it. I don't know what to do.
Oh, my gosh. I have never heard of that. I'm going to have to research that in the break.
I appreciate it.
I've never heard of anything eating horseradish roots.
Honest to God, and it's just a round shell, everything else is eaten, right below the leaves.
My guess is going to be voles, but you know what? When we go into break, I'll look it up, and then we'll talk about it as soon as we come back.
I appreciate it. I'll listen enough. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, let's get one more before the bottom of the hour break. Here's Doug, Elwood City 4. Doug on KDK.
Hi. I have a question, Doug, about the squash plants. I have two types of squash plants. I have zucchini, and I have the yellow crooked neck squashes. The yellow crooked neck squashes, the plants are thriving, but the squashes are only getting to be about 3 inches long, and then for some reason the growth stops.
Are they dropping off then? Are they just...
No.
Hmm. Probably a pollination issue. As long as that plant has water and good soil, once it sets that fruit, it should go crazy. If it doesn't, I think it's a pollination issue. We've seen a lot of that with zucchinis and other vine crops where the bees aren't doing the work. I would be tempted to take a paintbrush in the morning and take that pollen from the male flower, which doesn't have a fruit at the bottom, over to the female flower that has a little fruit at the bottom, and see if that helps.
All right. Thank you for that call. We have got Miles Stevens, Davy Tree, Talking Tree, coming up in just a little bit.
Well, I am joined in studio by Miles Stevens. And Miles, it has been a couple years since we've seen each other. We've talked a lot.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, but 2019, that is just, I can't believe it.
Wow. So today we're talking about the importance of hiring a certified arborist. I don't know if hiring is the right word, because certified arborist, at first, you'll come out for free, right?
Yeah. I think it's consulting with a certified arborist. Maybe
right, consulting with a certified arborist. And talk a little bit about that. I know, you know, I couldn't do it without my guys from Davie in the north, but talk about a little bit about what an arborist does when they come to the property.
Then come out to the property, and what you're going to do, I always do like an initial survey, walk around, and you know, get a sort of an inventory and just sort of a basic inspection of the trees, and then sort of course if people have a specific question or whatever, and you know, and right now I think it's a good time to use an example why to have a consulting arborist out for you is because getting hot and dry like it is right now, we're seeing trees drop leaves, and that can be from any number of reasons, really.
Well, that's interesting, because we kind of had some funny happen where somebody sent me a question about their magnolia tree saying it was dropping leaves. I sent you a message saying, hey, should I just have them see an arborist? And you said, yes. And you ended up being the arborist.
Right. Yeah. It was like, yeah, a couple of magnificent magnolia trees. It makes their property. I don't think they'd know what to do without them. But yeah, it was just a situation where we're getting hot and dry, and They just start dropping some leaves. I think it's a mechanism that trees use to minimize water loss as they drop some leaves. And they also had a little bit of what's called apian weevil damage. You can see, looks like at the ends of the branches, like somebody has shot a shotgun through some of the leaves. But overall, good condition, just a little TLC and, some supplemental watering for those trees.
And you're the second most popular guy at the party after the doctor because, right, everybody's like, hey, I have this, and it's doing this. And
yeah, I get some questions that way, that's for sure. But yes.
Let's talk a little bit about risk assessment, about looking up, which is interesting because as an arborist, I know you're looking down and all the way up, but a lot of us as homeowners, we don't look up. And in my own property, I should have been looking up because my Davey arborist found an oak tree that has canker that has to go, and it's right above the garage. And I, even though this is my business, I wasn't looking up.
Yeah, and like I said, you make an initial assessment a lot of times. First thing I do is I walk up to the tree, and the first thing I'm looking at is the root flare. And how does it look? Does it look healthy or whatever? Look for some fruiting bodies, make sure there's not any mushrooms like that. And then you start going up the trunk of the tree, and you're looking for any type of defect, crack, split, or whatever. You continue further up, and then you start looking at branch attachment and those type of things. And other cavities, and you're looking for nesting holes and those type of things. Then you sort of get to the foliage and start looking at the foliage and see what you can see up there. So you sort of take your time. I walk up and people are pointing to the top of the tree. I'm looking at the base of the tree because that's a critical part of whether the trees could be in good shape or not.
Yeah, this tree, he looked up, then he looked at the base and he said, I think it's hollow. And when I yelled in there, I had an echo. So I think he's right. That's not a good thing. I think there's a whole Disney movie Living in There.
Right, yeah, that's not a good thing. You get and even if you know there's some decay, it's difficult at times to assess exactly how much decay there is. And certainly, the term you're going to use is what are the potential targets for the tree. And obviously, if you have a lot of targets, you have structures, people, that type of thing, then you have to make a recommendation at times to remove the tree.
Really. When things do get hot and dry like this, what should we be watering? I can't water my entire oak forest. But what should I be watering? How do I decide what to water?
Well, it's not practical sometimes to do things a large tract, but certainly I would be looking at some of your maybe smaller ornamentals around your house that's easier to get to. Then also might be exposed more to sunlight in the drying. You have your oak forest, you can get some, the trees sort of share the crown area, and so they might be shading themselves a little bit too, and sort of that co-work between themselves, protect themselves. But you get a tree more in the open, a smaller ornamental that's just, a lot more direct sunlight than those trees, you might want to consider watering some more. Or new trees also, something that's been planted the last 4 or 5 years. Once again, they're just starting to get it. 5 years, they're just really starting to get going and have an established root system. So those plants can be more sensitive. I've certainly seen newer plants, trees the last year or two struggling. And, one of the things is going to be give those some supplemental watering. I always say infrequent but deep watering.
Well, I had a friend give me a Franklinia.
Oh, wow.
And he's like a PhD. He told me he killed two of them. Now, Franklinia, you tell me what you know about a Franklinia, and I'll see if I've got it right.
I believe Bartram was the fellow. He found it in Georgia.
In the 1700s.
1700s, growing in the wild. It's really never been found since growing in the wild. But, of course, he cultivated whatever, grew some more. So it's a very interesting tree because nobody finds it in the wild anywhere. It blooms later in the summer, which makes it interesting because most everything seems to bloom early.
It has a cool-looking flower, too. Now, mine's too young to flower.
Right. But that's pretty much the story. It's interesting. Not found in the wild, but it's a native tree, but not found anywhere in the native.
I don't understand that, though. I don't understand how you could find it once. And what do they do? Then vegetative cuttings, probably. And now the only way you can get it is in a nursery. But
right. I guess it's one of those situations where, he found it basically just where it went extinct. It's like animals go extinct. Plants can go too. And I guess when he was wandering around the woods somewhere in Georgia, he came across it. And that was the saving grace for the Franklinia. But you think somebody would have found something, and no.
I think I have it cited correctly, but that's what I wanted to tell you was that I put the hose at the – I looked at it, you got so much to do, but I looked at it, I said, I saw a couple of yellow leaves, and I'm like, oh, boy. So I put the hose there and let it run for a good 20 minutes just to make sure that it gets what it needs this time of the year. You know, even though it's been in for 2 years, that's a young tree. You've got to watch that, right?
Right. They just don't have an established root system. So it's really critical that you get water on those. I mean, we always say it takes a tree at least 5 years to get established in its site. So it's still pretty young, and it could use the help you need for it there.
How long you been at this, and why is it right for you?
Because I always like being outside, you know, not stuck in a
You didn't
cubicle.
Answer the first question.
Well, let me see. I graduated college in 1981, so, you know, 41 years, and just always like being out, looking at plants, being out there and talking with people. Never thought of myself somewhat as a people person, but I enjoy it. You get to meet a lot of interesting people and a lot of interesting properties and plants, and just always like being outside. That was really the key. I didn't want to be with a career that I was stuck inside.
Doesn't it feel good when you go to a property and you could tell somebody, like that magnolia, they were so worried.
Right.
You know, as we all are about our beloved trees, but doesn't it feel great to be able to tell somebody, hey, it's just stress, or you can do this, you can do that?
Yeah, it always feels good. You're bringing good news. You're not, bringing some bad news, you know, for them or whatever. And that's what we're seeing right now. Like I said, some of the yellowing leaves. Some cases, just like you need to give the tree some water. It's not really overly complicated. You need to give them a little helping hand there. Because once again, even in a landscape, the trees are, for the most part, not growing in what would be their natural native environment. So we've taken them out of that.
Before I let you go, I'm going to keep you here for another segment. But we've been talking off air about two trees that we both love, pawpaw. And you actually have a relative that has some American chestnut, right?
Yes. Yep.
And that American chestnut story is fascinating, where basically a quarter of our forests were American chestnut. You know, you'll see old structures, like at Pittsburgh Botanic Garden, that barn is made out of chestnut.
Right.
But you can't find it anymore because the chestnut blight. And then the pawpaw, we'll talk more about when we come back, but the pawpaw, and I'm so excited for you because you were telling me, how many pawpaws do you have on the tree?
One has like 12, 15,
man,
whatever, so it's pretty loaded.
Last year you had to share one with the entire family, right?
Right, exactly. So this year everybody's going to get their share.
What a pawpaw is it's this our only tropical fruit, right?
Largest fruit in North America.
Oh, is it? And it's mine get about the size of a potato. They're ready in September. They don't ship well. You can't pick them early.
No.
You can't find them maybe in a farmer's market here and there. But you cut them open, they got these big giant seeds in them, but they taste like, what do you say? I say mango banana, but that's not accurate.
Yeah, I'd say somewhere in between. It's like, you know, I mean, it has more flavor than banana, but not so much as like a mango. So it's like somewhere in between there. It's like, but they're tasty, you know, and I'm looking forward to having more, and then we can share it with the family and share it with some other folks. People could walk by my house and wonder what I'm doing out there.
We'll talk a little bit more about it when we come back. For more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDKA. And remember, you can always call the experts from Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
If you have a tree question, Miles is going to be here for the final segment today, so get on the line and give us a call, 866-391-1020. All right, what do you say we take a question right now on trees? Because Miles Stevens is here from Davey Trees, Doug Oster, DougOster.com, the Organic Gardener. Rock Press Sunday, KDKA. Here is Keith. You're on KDKA. Hello, Keith.
Doug, every time you talk about your pawpaws, I have a black and white flashback to the Beverly Hillbillies and Granny talking about her pickled pawpaws.
No kidding. I'm going to have to look that up. That's awesome.
I'm having a hard time hearing you. If you can hear me, my question is, I got two big trees. Are you there?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes.
I got two big trees at the end of my driveway. One's a maple tree, and one's a short pine needle, pine tree. And both of them branch. They're both real big, about 60 or 70 feet. And I'm just wondering, they both branch off real low, about 4 feet off the ground. I'm wondering if you could put a cable around them. You know, does anybody ever think about doing that? I'll get off and listen to your answer.
Well,
so you have to look at it, right? I mean, I know there's cabling that can be done, but you'd have to.
Yeah, you'd really want to take a look at it. And I guess the one question I would have is, like, why would we be thinking about putting a cable? If it's a matter of whether there's a lot of horizontal load or load under, they may split. But it sounds like they just sort of naturally branch low to the ground. So that really not be any cause for concern at all.
Right.
Unless you're looking to really elevate them up. But if they've grown that way, I'd leave them that way.
So I have a question from my friend Paul Danick. He sends it and he says, does one need a mama tree to go with their pawpaw tree?
No, all you need is a pawpaw tree.
But you do have to have two.
Right. It works best because I think the one thing you're going to do is, you know, talk about how they're pollinated by flies, and because the flowers, not that we really smell, have a bad odor to them. So the more, like, more pungent odor you get, the more flies you're going to draw.
So one thing interesting that you said when we were off air was where those trees are is right now they have a little ring around them. So that you don't hit them with the lawnmower. But you're going to change things because you want to be sure that they don't, the string trimmer or the mower do not come in contact with these trees. And those trees are special to you. But all trees, you do not want the mower and the string trimmer to come in contact with.
Absolutely. And then, and the idea there is, too, is not only to keep from getting hit by the string trimmer or the mower, but you really don't want to have the tree in competition with the lawn. And you want to have a, you know, better area for the roots to grow. So, you know, mulching, more natural, you know, area is going to be better for the trees, better to develop a good root system, not competing with the lawn. I always tell people, you know, and really could do with any trees, bigger mulch area, but I see you don't see a lot of grass in the woods. You don't see a lot of trees in the field. They're not really meant to grow. They're competitors with each other. And so, you know, and a lot of times I think one thing I see in landscapes, which would be ideal, I think, to change would be, a lot of times people just have that little 3-foot mulch ring around a 30-inch tree. The reality of it is you should probably have a much larger mulch ring. That'll do the tree a lot more good. It'll be healthier, and you'll prevent a lot of soil compaction because you're not walking across cutting the grass all the time. Really larger mulch rings or not competing with grass really serve trees a great deal better.
Well, that's good advice, definitely. Now, I had a question before we came on here, and I don't expect you to answer it because I can't answer it. Joe asked, he said that something's eating his horseradish roots. That's not your favorite thing, horseradish, is it?
No, I can't say I'm a fan of it.
So, Joe, I looked it up. The only thing I could find was gophers. We don't have gophers. So I guess I'm going to have to do more research on it. I'll ask Mrs. Know-It-All and see if she knows what could possibly eat horseradish roots, because it's one of those things where, can you imagine eating a raw horseradish root? I don't think so. I was telling the story that I got mine from a friend who his grandfather was grinding the horseradish in one of those old-fashioned blenders, and he told the guy, hey, come on over, and he was a kid. He said, take a whiff, and after he did, he went right down on his back. That's how – I mean, when you grind horseradish, it has to be done outdoors. All right, Miles, as always, it was great to see you. I'm so happy to see you back in the studio. We had a lot of fun. For more information about Davy Tree or ask what's going on with your trees, go to davy.com/KDKA. And remember, you can always call the experts from Davy Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733. I'll be answering questions after the show, as always, at DougOster.com. If you didn't get through or if you're too shy, check out my new video there. Lots of garden bargains, and then my friend Luke Warner from Davy Tree, he talks all about spotted lanternfly. Maybe I should ask you a little bit about spotted lanternfly. And all the information about my spring trip to Portugal is there. So have you seen a lot of spotted lanternflies or not?
No, really haven't seen any at all. I think a couple years ago we found one in an area really close, just one close to where our office is, and we were on a property doing some other work, and just one. So I have not seen, as far as in the South Pittsburgh area, we have not really seen hardly any of them at all. So we're a little mystified by that because a couple years ago, 3 years ago, it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Here they are, they're here, and now they're not, and even the whole area, they're not necessarily seeing these large developing populations. So who knows?
I found one on my property and killed it right away, and I have not seen an egg mass. I've been looking for them. I have not seen them, which is lucky because, you know, if they do invade, it's going to be bad. I think Luke told me 70 different species they go after, and luckily, Tree of Heaven is their favorite thing, which we don't really care about,
right,
to grow along the railroad tracks.
Yeah, I thought that wasn't so devastating. Tree Heaven, that's okay. But
well, if you have grapes or apples, though, you might be
right.
Upset.
Agriculture is a big problem.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, whenever these things pop up, it seems for a couple years it's severe, and then nature finds a balance. Something figures out how to eat that spotted lanternfly. Because it's so colorful, you know, predators are wary.
Birds probably love them, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I they don't know what they are.
Yeah, but they look big and tasty, so they go after them.
I hope they do.
Wouldn't it be easier to go after them at night because if they have lanterns, you could see them?
Ouch.
Okay. So that's not that good. Okay.
You're funny.
Sometimes. Anyway, please take us home.
Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
Miles, great seeing you. Have a great week, okay?
Okay, you too, Bob.
All right,
Rob,
stay
thanks.
With us. That's close enough.
Bob, Rob, Robbie.
They called me Ron for the first 10 years here. All right. Or Rod, either one, whichever works.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.